Thank you. 22nd of June, July. 2nd of July. My first time I've preached for 5 weeks or so. Oh. Yeah.
I'll wake up for it now.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm not. I'm going to be quite short, I think. I hope. It's weird, you know, when you're expecting certain visitors to come and you sort of begin to angle what you're going to say to the people who might be here, and then they're not here. And it's really weird. And so you think, you know, and I'm not necessarily thinking of certain... There's somebody, I had a phone call the other day, somebody might come and whatever, and I was planning to sort of say some things when he was here and stuff, and it's fine. It's been a funny journey the last few months. Has been a funny journey. And I'm more aware, having come back from Thailand, how it's my responsibility to get close to God. It's my responsibility to actually step into the light. I mean, I've done this preach before, not this one, but there's a whole thing about, you know, we can choose to be in the light or not in the light. That's our choice. And having a relationship with Jesus Christ, there was somebody who phoned up who was into scripture in a big way, and actually all the churches that I visited in Bangkok were into the word. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing, being into the word. But it's not all about words in a book. And that's the danger with getting so involved in the word that this becomes what you actually hold up to all the time. Actually, it's Jesus you hold up to all the time. It's about a relationship. And to help me in that relationship, I know Dave and Jill have been doing the Divine Romance 365. Yeah. I've gone on about the Passion Version because it's such a lovely translation for the New Testament. Song of Songs, Psalms and Proverbs. Okay, that's all it's got. It hasn't got the Old Testament in it. And Brian Simmons, who did the translation, he says that the Song of Songs is his favourite book. Okay, and then Dave said, "It's my favourite book." It hasn't been mine, okay, because I haven't understood it. I really haven't understood it. And you know, I've read it and I've gone, oh yes, and some people said that's Jesus and some people said not and whatever. So I've to help me understand it, and I did talk about this before I went away, because I know I had some encouraging stuff from Debs here. You know, she said, oh, I got into the Song of Songs, oh, it's wonderful, 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 wonderful. You know, and actually at a time when it was quite dry where I was, not dry physically, but it was dry spiritually, that was a real encouragement. Because somebody was going into a deeper relationship with the Lord, with the scriptures were opening up for her. And I want the same. I had coffee with Dave the other day, and he was saying that, we're doing a 365-day study called the Divine Romance. And it's all about the Song of Songs. Okay? If you've got Kindle, who's got Kindle? One or two of you. Oh. It is. I mean, Kindle is a wonderful thing to have on your phone or on your iPad or on your laptop or whatever. It's cheap. It's free. The Kindle is. You can buy a Kindle, but you can also have it on your as an app, and it's free. And you can buy this for £3.65, I think, at the moment, which is interesting. £3.65. But it's they're selling it for £3.65 at Amazon, and that's not a lot. And you do a daily verse, and it only takes you 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. But it takes you deeper into a relationship with Christ. Which is our aim. You know, we talk about making disciples. We've done that as a church. You know, hey, our aim is to make disciples. But actually our aim is to get all of us going into a deeper relationship with the living God. And that's the difference between you guys and some other places. Because I believe, you know... To see people who are wanting to move on. It's that wanting. Yes, I want to go. I want to go and do this. I don't want to sit back. I don't want to rest in my salvation, which many people do. They can rest in their salvation. I'm saved. And I can study the Bible for the rest of my life, and that's wonderful. And it's more than that. It's far more than that. You see, you were made for something special. You were made for something special. At the very beginning of the divine romance, there was a quotation about destiny. I'll quote it at the end of what I'm going to say today. But it led me to Ephesians 2 verse 10, if you can put that up, please. And this is the NIV version. Most of you know it. We're Christ's workmanship. We're Christ's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, it's actually quite a dry statement. It is quite a dry thing, you know, because the truth is in there, and we in our Western culture we deal with Scripture in a way which is logical, because much of the translations we've used have been logical. Let's look at the next one, which is the Passion Version. We have become his poetry. We have become his poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given to each of us. For we are joined to Jesus the Anointed One, even before we were born. God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. I'm going to leave this up. Because you are made for a destiny. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. John and Ephesians, probably the two that are my favorites. Because Ephesians is dripping with the Holy Spirit all the way through. You can read Ephesians over and over again, and you get so many big truths. You know, Paul writes letters to the churches, this church, that church, whatever. And generally, it's to address an issue. And he brings a theological point and he addresses the issue. Not everyone. Ephesians is full of this is what we are. This is who you are. And that's a great thing about Ephesians. In the beginning of Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, it talks about, you know, you were chosen. You were chosen before the creation of the universe. And if something should excite you, that should. Before God spoke, it happened. You were chosen. And your destiny was chosen at that point. Which is amazing. Which should blow you away, should blow us away. Because the God we serve. And that's, you know, I went into some of these temples on tours. I did the odd tour, I was taken around temples and the Chinese community, if I remember. And they've taken Buddhism, and they've added all their own gods in as well. So, you know, why not? I mean, so I was explained, this is our local god, and there's a big image of some demonic, horrible-looking thing. Yes, and he's our local god, and we would all recognize him because he's part of our Chinese tribe, who we all moved here, and we brought him along with us, and he was the one we looked for to. A local God. I've got the God of gods. I've got the King of kings. I've got the God of the creation. You know, the Word, the Logos. And that's what Paul did. And I, you know, so that's what John did. When John spoke to the people, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. Logos was the creator above all those other gods you guys have got. And the trouble with... they're all wrong about their gods. But they're spiritual things, you know. Whatever. But they're all tiny and small. And our God is absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome, because he is the God, the creator. Amen. Let's look at this workmanship. Consider being Christ's workmanship. Consider being Christ's poetry. I struggled with this bit because I looked up the Greek word. And if you look at the notes in the Passion Version, it says this wonderful Greek word, and I'm not going to go on with the Greek word only because I forgot to write it down. But it doesn't really matter. Okay? It's the wonderful Greek word, and I've spent some time looking it up, and I thought, I can't find actually the word poetry in this. The translation's a bit, you know. And actually, after about an hour and a half, 2 hours of looking through and looking at the things we look at, things like Strong's, which is a translator that takes you back to the Greek, and Vine as well. Vines is and Strong's is the word is workmanship. It's the construction. But I know why they've put that, because the people that were translating the Greek were understanding machines. They think in terms of machines. We are, because all the Greek says is something that's been made. And we think in terms of machines. So if we think ourselves as God's workmanship, we're like a machine that has to operate and do good works. And that's how you logically move into. And what Brian Simmons has done, you are his poetry. If you think of the very beginning of creation, God spoke. He spoke, and what he spoke was wonderful. And what wonderful speech isn't necessarily song. Even though there's bits where God sings over us, that's a scriptural basis. He speaks. We are his, what he spoke when before creation, if that makes a sense. And that's the way he's coming from. And I suddenly understand, because he uses the whole understanding of God and he brings it in. And he takes away some of the cultural preconceptions that we've already done. It's part of the Romans 12:2. You know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, hey, I've done it again. I've managed to get that in. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we are to be transformed. And part of this is understanding a God who isn't constrained with our concepts and our ideas. With our human, with our Western culture. And we do. We constrain him. We have become his poetry. And I love that. And I really do understand. I begin to understand now. Because he spoke. I remember C.S. Lewis. Remember Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe? You know, as an adult, I've read that quite a few times. Because I love it. Because C.S. Lewis was a theologian. He spoke. His stories are you think about children, well, children's stories, they're allegorical tales. The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe is all about Jesus. And Jesus is represented by the lion Aslan. Most of you know that. Okay. Now, it's a book you might not have read, which is called The Magician's Nephew. The Magician's Nephew is about creation. And you have a bit in The Magician's Nephew where Aslan sings over creation, and creation takes place. And C.S. Lewis understood the theology of that. He understood a God who spoke and sung over all of it, and it happened because he's God. Do you begin to grasp this whole idea of being his poetry? Being, he spoke and you are, the words of God are in you. What he said is in you because you were designed with a destiny in place. He says, taking his glasses off and not being able to read my notes, which... Yeah, okay. You are custom creation. There is no one like you. Nobody else has the stuff that you have. You are cut completely and utterly unique. Nobody has been created the way you have. You're tailor-made. When I was going to one of the big malls in Thailand, in Bangkok, MBK. I like MBK. It's all sort of dodgy T-shirts and everything else. You know, it's massive, and the people are just making a living. Okay, they're just trying to sell stuff and whatever. And I mean, there's fantastic bargains. Whatever. But there's quite a few tailors at every level. There's these tailors, and they're all Indian. They all can make you a suit, tailor made or shirts. And they say, you know, they try and stop you and they ask you, do you want a tailored suit? I'll have it ready tomorrow or the day after. I see some of the suits on display and go, yeah, not now. but you can have tailor-made. You are tailor-made. Before creation started, you were tailor-made. So you can relax. And just know that because of this, you'll never have to, never try, you should never try to imitate or replicate what's already been done. You know, the world needs what you have. The world needs what I have. And part of the discovery process of figuring out is figuring out what you have, what God's put in you. But you've got to understand that your design is already in you. God's design is already in you. We try to do it externally. If I am God's workmanship, if I am thought of as a machine-y type thing, or something that's been created to do a job, in the way that we do in the Western thing, we miss the point. Because we then have to do it. And one of the next bits is, you know, good works. And you know, and so many churches that I, all the churches that I went to in Bangkok were into good works. Really good works. I mean, hey, praise God. And I'm not knocking good works. But you end up then with a social gospel that our job is to do good works. And though that's true, we can miss the point because we miss who we are in Christ. We have to have that first. We're to keep our focus on doing good works. It's a right thing to do. And you've been designed to do some pretty awesome and amazing things. You know, you might think, as your life goes on, that the things that God's called you to do are too big. It's very easy for us to go, oh, I can't do that. And most people who are doing amazing things, I was in the sort of dry time of being in Thailand a bit. I was a mate of mine, actually Dave knows him as well, Mike Moore. You know, he was sending me WhatsApp stuff through the Harvest Network. He's a guy who had a triple bypass, I think, and runs a church up at Northwich. And here he is with a whole load of New Guinea tribesmen, and they've just friends of his have just translated the gospel into the local tribe. And here I am looking after a 2.5-year-old, and I'm feeling all guilty because I feel I should be doing the other stuff. Except God probably hasn't made me do that. You've got to step into what God calls you to do, and just be happy with that. Now, somebody was given that calling to go and translate some obscure language, and spend years and years learning an obscure tribal language in New Guinea, and translating the gospel into it. That's a calling. You know, you have to know God. That's the passion that will fuel you. It's not mine. But it may be yours. It might be, you know, you might have a passion that God has given you. Don't, you might think you're not ready, you're not prepared. But you're pre-designed to do the amazing. You're pre-designed to do the incredible. You're pre-designed to do transformation. You're pre-designed as a messenger. We're all called to be messengers. But messengers, being a messenger is, remember, you are God's poetry. The poetry is in you because you are his creation. Does that make any sense? You are already, you were made for that. And as long as you step into that, that's okay. The other word I want to look at is advance. Okay, God plans in advance. As you walk through your faith, God, you might be surprised what God might be doing in your life. You might be surprised what He's showing you in your life, in your business, in your calling, what significance you have. But He's not. He knew all about the things that He would have for you from the very beginning. You think you know, you are the only one who knows you. And God does. God knows you in every single way. Every single hair of your head, He knows. He knows every single emotion, every single feeling, how you're wired. He knows you completely. He designed you in such a way to meet the needs of other people and to feel this tug towards other people when you're needed to. The other word I want to look at is focus, is do. Your design and your purpose comes forth through your voice. And sharing your voice means action is required. It's not enough to know who you are to do. It's about sharing what you have. We're to do it. You can be pre-programmed by God, and if you don't step into that pre-programming, you miss the point. You end up not doing what you're called to do. And it might be nothing. It might be seen to be unbelievably small. But as part of the global plan, you're part of that global plan. And one of the reasons we miss our purpose is because we don't do anything with what we're given. You know? And that's our choice again. And to finally say, it says, is it that quotation there? You have a divine destiny. Have I put that up there? I can't remember if I have. Ephesians 1, is that the only two that are there? Three that are there? No, it's not it. Okay, the quotation that I want to quote from The Divine Romance is, you have a divine destiny and were created to encounter his tangible presence. And along the way, you will be blessed and broken. Being broken is also part of this journey. Because I sometimes believe that unless you're broken, you can't do it. You will be broken, you'll be cherished, and you'll be challenged. Yet in the end, you will be consumed with him and discover your true identity. And that's what my wish is for me and for you guys. You'll discover who you are in him. Amen? Amen. That was actually the very beginning of the teaching that you're doing at the moment. It's